be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they shall support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we talked about transfiguration, that Jesus and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were on the mountain, and they come down from the mountain, and the first thing they encounter is this boy who is possessed by a demon. This idea that in those mountaintop experiences, in those powerful moments, Satan is always close at hand, waiting to strike, to try to bring us low. And today we go back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after his baptism, and Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days. The baptism itself was a bit of a mountaintop experience. In fact, there are some parallels to the transfiguration. Even as Jesus is declared by the Father, the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen one, listen to him." And his baptism, the Father speaks over Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And so we have this voice of the Father reaffirming who Jesus is and what his ministry is all about. And coming from that mountaintop experience, coming from that powerful moment of the baptism of Jesus, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days, brought low by the hunger of his own belly and tempted by Satan. Now, before we jump in, I want to make sure we don't downplay the struggle that Jesus had against Satan. It's really easy to reject his humanity, to not think about his humanity, and just say, well, he was Jesus. If I was Jesus, I would resist the temptation too. Well, Adam and Eve were without sin themselves, yet what did they do? They fell. And so we're all tainted with original sin. Jesus suffered this temptation. We should not just think to ourselves, well, it was easy for him. No, he suffered in this temptation. The author of Hebrews says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." He understands our plight against temptation. He understands the attacks of the evil one. And what's interesting, it says he was tempted in every respect as we have been tempted. Think of how you've been tempted. Think about what temptations have drawn you away from God. He was tempted in every way that we were tempted, yet without sin. And in chapter 2 of Hebrews, the author writes, "Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." That's payment for the sins of the people. "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." He suffered in his temptation. And because of that, he sympathizes, he understands, he's empathetic towards the plight of humanity because he experienced it fully. Yet being without sin, he now helps us in our own struggle against temptation. So what is the purpose of temptation? What is Satan trying to do even in these moments with Jesus? His goal is to separate Jesus from the Father, to create a divide in the Holy Trinity, that this Holy Family, the eternal exchange of love that the Trinity is. And Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. Luke frames it so beautifully. He actually goes from the baptism into the genealogy of Jesus, and then he goes into 40 days in the desert. And as he does this, you go through this genealogy, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And you see this link to Jesus all the way back to the Father. And genealogies matter. We don't read genealogies often in church. If I would, for the next 10 minutes, say, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so, was this, you'd all tune me out. But they matter. Because genealogies are historical proof and connections of history, of linking who humans are all the way throughout time. All of us, genealogies matter because it tells us who we are all the way back through time. Each of us. A genealogy tells a story of many sexual unions that brought life into this world one after another. Each of you exists because of that chain. And if you would erase any piece of that chain all the way back to the beginning of time, what happens? You go all back to the future, right? You disappear. They matter. And so we have this trackable history that connects Jesus to being the Son of God. And Satan's first temptation of Adam and Eve and their fall into sin tried to sever that link, right? Right at the beginning, right between God and Adam. He tried to sever it. And while it was weakened, it still remained. God gives a promise of an offspring that will come and bring healing and defeat Satan. And so each temptation Satan offers to Jesus is trying to tempt Jesus away from reliance on the Father, away from that connection, that dependency together, and rather into some form of self-reliance and self-interest. So the first thing he says, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Your body has been hungering for 40 days. The hunger is painful. So just provide a basic need. It's all it is. It's just bread. It's not a big deal. If Jesus did not come to show signs and wonders, he did not come to use his divinity in order to serve his own needs or even those of others. He used the signs and wonders he was able to perform in order that others may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to confirm his divinity and who he is and to draw others to him. And so he says to Satan, man does not live on bread alone. So then Satan says, well, he shows him all the nations in an instant. And he says, all these are mine to give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. All of them. You can have them all. A temptation to receive power and authority, recognition and fame. I think of Moses last week, as we heard in the Old Testament reading. The Lord shows him all the promised land. And he doesn't say, all this will be yours. He says, all this will be for your offspring. It's not for your fame. It's not for your recognition. It will come to the generations after. But what God has planned for Moses is an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, not the nations of this world, but the kingdom of God. And so Jesus himself, our King, refuses to fall into the temptation to worship Satan in selling his soul, receiving a momentary experience of power and authority. And instead he says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And so we come to the third temptation. He takes him to the temple of Jerusalem, the city in which he will die. And he says, cast yourself down. I mean, who is this God anyways? If you trust him so much to provide for all your needs, if you're so reliant on him that you're willing to refuse positions of power and authority and prestige, then make him prove himself. He really can't be as good as you think he is. Cast yourself down. See if he catches you. See if he loves you. And Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And with this, he dismisses Satan and the temptation. Who is Satan? Who is Satan? A lot of times we picture him as this red little creature with ears and a pitchfork and a little tail with a pointy thing at the end. Perhaps he wants us to even think of him like that, some caricature that we can't really believe in. He's the great deceiver, the father of all lies. He is always trying to deceive. Deception is one of his greatest tools. We shouldn't even be surprised he uses scripture, because when you go to the beginning, when you go to Adam and Eve, what does Satan use against Adam and Eve? The very words of God. He takes them and he always twists them ever so slightly to serve his own purposes. And so he lies. And he's the great divider. He seeks to create division, to drive a wedge between us and God, between us and others. He's the father of death. What is death? The separation of body and soul divided. What is spiritual death? The separation of man from God. This is his ultimate goal. This is what he desires. And so he tries to tempt Jesus so Jesus would fall, so salvation dies there. And Jesus overcomes that temptation. And it says that Satan then departs from him for a time. The word there, kairos, is interesting in the Greek. We usually think of chronos. You guys probably are familiar with chronos, where we get the idea of time, chronology, so on and so forth. Kairos means a specific appointed time. And in the scriptures, kairos typically applies to the time Jesus comes, the passion of Christ. And so it'd be easy to see this as, and Satan departs until that time, the appointed time, when Jesus comes to fulfill what he came to do. And if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson shows that so powerfully, as Satan is just there, right? Just always in the backdrop, just always over his shoulder. Does he really love you? Does he really provide for you? Does he really care for you? And we know that Satan failed. Jesus did go to the cross for us. He died and he rose again for us. That genealogy is intact. That connects us to the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Connects us into that eternal life. And so now Satan tries to seek to separate us from Christ. If he couldn't just kill the whole thing off, he now seeks to kill us. He seeks to cut us off from the source of all life. And he will use any means necessary. But what's interesting about Satan, he's kind of a one-trick pony. He does the same stuff, doesn't he? He tries to tempt us to think that God doesn't provide our daily needs. Right? You don't actually believe God gave that to you, do you? You worked hard for that. You worked hard for that job and for the money and the paycheck. Look at how self-sufficient you are. Look at how productive you are. Look how you have it together. Isn't that even what we try to do with our children? Get them in the right job, the right experience, the right degree, the right whatever, so that one day they can be successful, productive members of society, so that they can earn for themselves a paycheck and be self-reliant. And we don't see it as all gift from God. That we don't just live after seeking the pleasures of this world. Think of what you desire. Think of the basic desires. What do you desire? What physical things do you desire? Food or drink or companionship? And how often we go to grasp them for ourselves. Or he tempts us with fame or power, with prestige. Here's the moment. Here's the moment of fame. Take it. Run with it. Make the most of it. You can be the person who everyone looks up to. You can be the person with your name in the newspapers, with your name on the headlines. And you better start now or you'll miss the opportunity. So do it. Run. Go. Whatever the cost, don't worry about it. Financial cost or the cost of other people or the cost of our own families to get that promotion. Whatever it is, it's worth it. The sacrifice and the drive. So just go. Go. It'll be yours. So we can what? Put another trophy on our shelves? Another piece of paper on our walls? and we sacrifice our family, our friends, our God, searching after things that do not last. And then he comes and he tries to cause us doubt. You still believe in God? How? How? It's against science. It's against reason. It's against modern sensibilities. You can't truly believe in God. You're a fool. You have to be a fool. It's a crutch for the weak. Look at the world. Look at all the brokenness and the chaos. You can't tell me God is love. You can't tell me that God is real. If you believe in God, try him. Test him. You're suffering trials? If God is love, why would he let you suffer? It seems more like God abandoned you. He tempts us the same way he tempted Jesus, with lies and deception, seeking to divide us, to turn us against each other, and to turn us against our God. What does Jesus use in the midst of the temptation? The Word of God. He is the Word made flesh, and he uses the Word of God to combat Satan every step of the way. To hear the Word of God that had just proclaimed, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." A very word that because of Christ's death and resurrection, we participated in. He calls that upon us. "You are my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, with you I am well pleased," because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And he understands the temptations we face. Jesus understands the temptations because he was tempted. He understands the suffering because he suffered. He understands the attacks of the evil one more intimately than even we can because he experienced them firsthand. Satan attacked Jesus before he attacked us. And in the midst of all this, Jesus promises to be with us always, even to the end of the age, so that nothing can take away from us the salvation that Christ has won for us. Satan cannot defeat you because he cannot defeat our brother Jesus, who has already defeated Satan. So even today we gather because we receive the mercy and the forgiveness and the love that God pours out into us as Jesus defeats the evil one for our sake and gives us strength to fight against the temptation we face through prayer and his word. So I ask you, what is tempting you? What temptations do you face? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He understands. He's with you. And when you've fallen into temptation, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Confess it. Brothers and sisters, confess it. Satan wants nothing more than for you to deny your sin, to neglect your sin, to justify your sin. He cannot stand a penitent sinner. One who brings it to the Lord and says, "I'm sorry, Lord." Because when we ask forgiveness upon our sins, he no longer has power over us, the evil one. He no longer can use that against us because we know we have forgiveness in Christ. So what's tempting you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, our great high priest, give us strength to overcome temptation. And when we have fallen, forgive us and restore us to life in you. Amen.